There's a responsive prayer that's sometimes said, or a declaration that's said in churches, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Let's just kind of bring our worship to a close by sharing that. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Wonderful. I don't watch a lot of television, but I'm struck sometimes by particular adverts, and I wonder whether you've come across this one. After a successful sports career, Addison Brown, a member of the GP water polo team, decided to retrain, and he became a teacher. And he became the face of the 2020 TV teaching ad. Anybody seen it? Yeah, it shows him in a school in Bradford going through an ordinary day and just chatting to students and encouraging them. It celebrates the energy and the care that he puts into his job and the impact that it can have on his students' learning and their lives. And the advert closes with this phrase, every lesson shapes a life. And I'm really grateful to an old primary school head teacher that I had, Mr. Duffield. You see, he saw something in me when I was in primary school, and he told my parents that I was university material. Neither my mum nor my dad had ever gone to university. It was way beyond their thinking. Nobody in our wider family had ever gone to university. But because of what he said, despite the fact that I was a quiet child, I was a shy child, I was an underconfident child, I would have only ever described myself average at school on a good day, his words shaped my life. It never occurred to me that I wouldn't go to university. He shaped something of a future that I don't think I would have been encouraged to do otherwise. We've already thought of teachers that have shaped our lives in one way or another, but there will be plenty of other people that have been life shapers for us as well, whether it be a parent or a friend, somebody in your church or somebody in a workplace. I can think of so many people that in different seasons have helped shape my life. And I hope that each of us here can think of people as well. But I want to ask another question today, and that is, whose life are you shaping? And where does God fit into all of this? You see, the Bible is full of ordinary and not so ordinary people who shaped the lives of those around them, inspiring them to be something greater, to be something more, to be something more that God intended for them. And we're going to look at three Bible characters today. We're going to look at Moses, we're going to look at Samuel, and we're going to look at Timothy. We're going to think of some of the people that shaped their lives, but what they became as a consequence of this. So firstly, Moses is an Old Testament hero, and he has a complicated early life. He was an Israelite born in Egypt during Pharaoh's campaign of genocide against male Israelite babies. It wasn't safe at all. But the Bible tells us in Hebrews that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he wasn't an ordinary child. They saw something in the future of their newborn child, and they took a risk. They kept him alive by hiding him in a basket and placing it on the banks of the Nile near where Pharaoh's daughter would notice him. And in Acts, we read, when he was placed outside, Pharaoh's daughter took him and brought him up as her own son. Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and action. We can only imagine that when Pharaoh's daughter saw that baby, she also realized that this wasn't an ordinary child, because she saw to it he was brought up well and well educated. Both Moses' parents and Pharaoh's daughter were early life shapers for Moses. So we're going to leave Moses there, and we're going to come back to him in a moment, because the next person I want to move on to is Samuel. Samuel is another Old Testament character who was born to a woman called Hannah after much prayer. Hannah couldn't have children. She pleaded and pleaded, and God answered her prayer. He was such a longed for child, but out of gratitude to God, Hannah gave her son back to God by sending him away to live with and to serve under a priest called Eli. And in 1 Samuel, we read that one night Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Now, the ark, I'm not talking about Noah's ark here, I'm talking about the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was a significant symbol of God's faith and presence for God's people. And Samuel got to sleep next to it. He literally lived in the presence of God, but he didn't know or recognize God. One night, God called his name, and Samuel didn't know who was speaking. It was the priest Eli who realized that it must be God. And so the priest Eli started Samuel in the art of conversing with God. That's Samuel. We're going to leave him there. We're going to move to somebody who's got a slightly different story, and that's Timothy, and his story we find in the New Testament. Timothy wasn't saved as a baby and brought up in a palace like Moses. He wasn't a miracle child who grew up in the presence of God like Samuel. Timothy was a regular young man. He was living in Lystra in New Testament times. He had a faith which he'd learned from his mother and his grandmother. And he was brought up in an environment where following God was kind of just normal. And yet, when the Apostle Paul came by, Apostle Paul saw something in him, and he invited this young, ordinary man to join him on his travels. So Moses and Samuel and Timothy, they all had life shapers at work in their lives. So let's look at what happens next. Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. And when you grow up as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, you grow up to be a leader. While he was growing up, he received the best education, the best leadership training, and warfare training, all that was available. But between growing up as the son of Pharaoh's daughter and leading the Israelites out of Egypt, which might be what we know Moses for best, Moses spent 40 years in the desert in Midian, herding sheep for his father-in-law. The Moses that fled from Egypt because he'd done something terrible there to Midian would never have been able to have led the people into the promised land. He needed more life shaping, and he did this by herding sheep. It prepared him for when he needed to herd the Israelites through the desert. Although he had some early life shapers, Moses' potential wasn't fully realized until he was an older man. He led the Israelites out of Egypt in his 80s. So if you're sitting here today, or you're watching online and you're thinking, you know, I'm 60, I'm a bit over the hill here. You are not. God still has a plan and a shape for your life. If you're watching online and you're sitting here and you're over 80 and you think, I am definitely past it. Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt when he was in his 80s. Samuel was growing up in the Old Testament equivalent of a church, learning from Eli. It was Eli who taught Samuel how to listen to God, and straight away Samuel started receiving messages from God, not just for himself, not just for his mates. He started hearing words for the whole nation and the people of God as a young boy. And after being woken up to listen to God in the middle of the night, he spent years listening to God. He grew more and more accustomed to listening and delivering God's message to the nation, whether it was a popular message or not. As we've already said, Timothy's mother and grandmother were early life shapers for him. Right from his birth, they passed their faith on to him. And it was further developed when, as a young adult, Timothy was invited by Paul to join the apostle on his missionary travels. Timothy spent many years journeying with Paul, experiencing firsthand what it was like to lead and to plant churches in the first century. He worked alongside Paul, spreading the good news about Jesus to new leaders, and he suffered persecution for his faith. Now, these three characters had people and experiences that shaped their lives. But why? What did God have in mind for them? Moses' upbringing and his years in the desert combined to make him the most equipped person to lead God's people out of slavery in Egypt and to turn them into a nation and lead them into the promised land. That's a job and a half. Samuel became so practiced at listening to God that God sent him to a man called Jesse to anoint one of Jesse's sons as the new king of Israel. And the choice wasn't an obvious one. All the best boys that Jesse had were brought out, and he had to keep saying, no, that's not the one. No, that's not the one. No, not even that one. It wasn't until the youngest, who was out in the fields looking after sheep, eventually turned up, and it was at that point that God said yes to Samuel, and Samuel said, that's the one. Samuel's life was so shaped, he could even recognize future kings of Israel and shape their lives. Timothy's God-given life was shaped and developed so that when the need arose, he was able to return to one of the churches that he and Paul had set up in Ephesus. And he became their pastor. And it was while he was pastoring there that Paul wrote to him to encourage him. And he encourages him to remember those who had shaped his life and his calling. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy, I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. His grandmother, his mother get a mention as being life shapers, and the purpose. You have a gift, Timothy. You must grow and develop and lead this church. So Moses became a great leader of people. Samuel learned to listen to God and help shape the life of a nation. Timothy became a gifted pastor where he encouraged and shaped the lives of those that were under his care. The Bible is full of ordinary and not so ordinary people who shape the lives of those around them, inspiring them to something greater, something more, as God intends for them. So how can we be life shapers? How can we inspire others to do something greater, to become the person that God wants them to be, to do that work that God wants them to do, to be the presence that God wants them to be? How can we be people who shape a life? I spent some time with Bev Geen this week earlier on, and unfortunately she's not here today to be able to share her story. But she was just talking to me about what it means to be a music teacher. Many of us will know that Bev teaches in school and she teaches at home. And she didn't know that I was necessarily preaching on this. She certainly didn't know I was going to ask her to share a story. We were nattering, as people do. And she told me of an 8-year-old pupil that she's got. I'm not going to give her name, but she lives with mum and dad and her big brother. And her big brother has autism, quite severe autism. And her big brother demands a huge amount of time from mum and dad. And this little 8-year-old said to her mum one day that her piano lessons are her favourite time of the week, because that's when she gets one-to-one encouragement, attention and care. That is such a simple story, isn't it? It's somebody going around doing their ordinary job, their ordinary work, but they are shaping the life of a little 8-year-old girl. That's how we become life shapers. We go through doing our ordinary things, whether it's at work, whether it's in our family, whether it's where we socialize, but we do it intentionally. We do it caringly. We do it God awarenessly. I know that's not a word. But we do it with that presence of God. So think of those that you work with. How could you be more of a life shaper for a colleague, or a customer, or a client, or your boss, or your boss's boss, if you ever get to speak with them? What about at home and in your neighbourhood? Where can you shape the lives of those in your immediate community? Stopping for a chat, speaking a word of encouragement, seeing with God's eyes the potential, the goodness of God in that person and calling it out. What about when you're socializing or pursuing a hobby? How can you help shape the lives of those that you spend time with? Seeing a good thing well done and commenting on it. Seeing something not yet being done, but the potential. You see, God has planted us where he's planted us. In our neighbourhoods, in our workplaces, in social settings, and here in this church. And not only does he call us to flourish ourselves, but he calls us to help nurture others so they might flourish where they are planted too. God is calling each of us to be a life shaper. And he's given us natural gifts, he's given us talents, he's given us experience that we can draw on. He's given us a sense of purpose and calling, and he gives us supernatural gifts as well. How can you, in ordinary and extraordinary interactions, help shape someone's life? I'm going to invite you to stand, if you would, with me, and I want to read some words from Timothy's church. They were written by Paul to a congregation in Ephesus, but I'd invite you to hear these words for yourself today. So I'm going to ask you to stand because we've been sitting for a while, and it's good to stand. And actually, if we want to receive from God, we might even want to close our eyes and just put our hands out as a way of submitting ourselves to him and asking him to receive. If you don't want to put your hands out, can I encourage you to open your heart and hear these words that Paul writes and receive them for yourself? And then I'm going to pray. Paul writes, God can do anything, you know. Far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his spirit deeply and gently within us. God can do anything, you know, far more than we ever think is possible, even with us. Let's personalize it, even with me. So maybe you'd like to make this prayer personal. Lord, come to me by your Spirit and work in me. I want to say yes to your call to be a life shaper where I live and where I work and where I spend my leisure and my social time. Help me to respond to the opportunities that come my way, ordinary and extraordinary moments, to encourage others to fulfill who you want them to be. Lord, thank you for the people that have shaped my life, past, and those that are shaping my life at the moment. Lord, thank you for every way you shape me. Would you continue to work in me and work through me? Lord, speak to me about that new job that I'm deliberating about, or that new responsibility I'm wondering whether I should take on. Lord, speak to me about the way I'm serving you here at TBC, and maybe that call that you're speaking to me about, but I haven't yet said yes to it. Lord, give me courage, because that Bible verse you gave me for a friend, I haven't yet given it to them. I'm worried about their reaction. Lord, I want to be a life shaper today. Give me courage to encourage my friend. And Lord, that person that really needs someone in their life to journey alongside them, that person that I know I could travel with, I could be a life shaper to, but I've been holding back because I don't want to get too involved. Lord, would you come by your Spirit? Would you fall on us again? Lord, will you fill us up again with your Spirit? Would you reshape us? Would you inspire us? Lord, would you use us, even me? Lord, come again to us by your Spirit, we pray. Amen. As we always say at the towards the end of a service, if anybody would like to pray anything through, then we have a prayer ministry team and they'll come and they'll sit around on the front rows. Can I encourage you to come forward, whether it's for a blessing for what you are doing or something that you sense God stirring you to? Can I encourage you not to leave without prayer?